little while ago. I was a teenager. Now I'm in my mid-20s, and I don't know where it went, and it's hard to see where it goes. Genesis chapter 5. And I'm going to talk about going on a walk with the Lord. Going on a walk with the Lord. Genesis 5, verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for the Lord took him. Some people have said Enoch, God enjoyed that time with Enoch so much that he just said, I'm just going to go ahead and take you up to heaven. Because Enoch just disappeared. God took him. And then if you go to Genesis and chapter 6 and verse 8, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and there, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And Noah walked with God. And then back to Genesis chapter 3. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about a walk with God. Father, thank you for this wonderful book. Even here at the start of the Bible in Genesis, there's amazing truths in there. Thank you for everyone who's come today, Father. We love serving you, Father. It's a privilege. It's a joy to go to church. It's a wonderful thing to hear your word. We are hungry for it. We want to learn. We want to grow. We want to be better Christians. We want to serve our time with you, Father. We want to serve you with our hearts and spend our time wisely, Father. We need to do that, Lord. And there's a lot of things. We are in the busiest society with 1,000 things to do and 1,000 things flying at us, Father. And you know that. You knew where we'd be. But I pray that we would be people who put our time in the right place and do the right things. I pray that your spirit would speak to hearts, Father. If there's something that we're supposed to be doing, we're not doing, I pray that you'd speak to us. I pray you'd convict us and draw us and encourage us. And Lord, anybody who doesn't know you as Savior, may they come to know you as Savior today. Bless this time and bless this service. Speak to our hearts. We need you, Father. We need thy spirit, and we pray he'd speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, we see here that the voice of God, now every word of God is important. God says, I keep every word because I choose my words carefully. He said that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the midst of the garden. And they didn't hear God walk in the midst of the garden, they heard the voice of God. I think that that's notable that God says it that way, but the voice is walking. I think if you know your Bible a little bit, you know that was Jesus because the Bible says Jesus was the Word. And he is the expression of God. And he is, the Word became flesh. Jesus was walking in the garden to go spend time with Adam. And Adam heard God walking. And who knows exactly how that happened because he was the Word. And what emulated out of him as he walked. But he heard him walking and he decided, I'm going to run. And Eve ran. Why? Because they're ashamed. Somebody once said, sin will keep you from the Bible or the Bible will keep you from sin. But you don't keep both of them. And when I find this, it's one of the reasons I believe in our church that you rebellious people never stay. People who are hypocrites never stay at Open Door. They leave. We'd be a big church if we had all the people who are playing games stay. We'd be a big church. But they don't. They go out. Why? Because they believe the Lord speaks. And they don't want to hear that. And it's conviction they don't want. They just want to itchy ear and a scratch in the back and maybe feel good about myself and I'll be out and go watch a football game. And that's what I want on Sunday. But when the voice of God is speaking, people who are not right come under conviction. And when you come under conviction, you have one or two responses. You find it happen with Jesus all the time. You find it happen with Stephen. You run away from it. in the process of running away from it, you try to stop it. Sometimes they ran upon Stephen and attacked him physically to stop him from speaking. And so you run away from it by attacking the messenger, or you submit to it and say, I'm wrong. I confess my sin. And that's the two responses. The first thing you'll immediately start doing if you don't want to submit to God, you don't want to admit your sin and get it right, first thing you'll begin to do is attack the messenger and start demonizing them so you'll feel better. But the voice of God is still there. And God says this thing. And so God says, God's coming to walk with Adam and Eve, and they run away from him. And I think sometimes people don't pray because they're afraid to get in the presence of God, because it's very convicting. And you're transformed. There's no way to hang out in the presence of God and not be transformed. It's always reverence and transformation and awe, and you're changed, or it's, I'm out of here. It's one of those two things when you really get around God. I'm not talking about religion now. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about a person when you get around him. You're transformed. The power of God, the presence of God is too powerful. It's transforming. And so you get that. And so the Lord went to go walk with Adam that day, and Adam ran. And God said, Adam, where art thou? Do you think the God who knows everything knew where Adam was and where Eve was? Isn't it interesting? God said, where are you, Adam? He asked him. God could have went, hey, you're right there behind the bush. Or he could have appeared behind him and said, boo. That would have been a scare. He could have done all kinds of things. But God said, where are you, Adam? Why? Because he wanted Adam to confess. He wanted Adam to deal with the situation. He wanted Adam to admit. See, God calls, men must respond. And so God wants us to deal with our situation. Why are we running? Why are you running? Why are you running from God? Why are you running from my presence? And he says, well, I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you're naked? Well, we ate the fruit. So no, we ate the fruit. I know that happened. And God removed him from the garden. He couldn't be in the garden anymore. Adam and Eve were both asked to remove because in the garden was a tree of life. If you ate that, you'd live forever. God did not want them to live forever in a fallen state. So they could never be with him in heaven. So he had to remove them from the garden so they wouldn't eat the tree of life and live forever as fallen people. He needed them to die. So he'd get rid of that fallen body and take them to heaven someday, and they could be with him forever and get a new body. People think God's mean. God does what he does for out of his goodness, usually. And so God did that. And then, see, it looks like Adam, in this certain time of day, God would come and go for a walk with Adam. And then Adam is gone, but there's a guy named Enoch who is a godly man, and he was so godly that one day Enoch was out walking and God appeared beside him and said, let's walk together. We don't know if he physically was there. We don't know if he could see him. We don't know if it was Jesus. It just says Enoch walked with God twice. And then later, Noah was such a godly man that God said, I'm going to walk with Noah. And Noah walked with God. Can you imagine that? You're walking and God's beside you. You're walking with God, talking. Great prayers use that phrase, walking with God. In the garden, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And so he walks with God. Spend some time walking with God. I think the interesting thing about that is God made Adam for a few different things: to work, tend the garden. And by the way, that's how men are always supposed to work. God made him to. They're always wrong if they don't work. He made him to spend time with him, to walk with him. It's interesting. God tells Adam later, he says, Adam, you're alone. It is not good for a man to be alone. They need a companion. Now, you got to follow me here. You got to think for a sec here. Man at that time, when he said it's not good for him to be alone, had not fallen yet. Man was made in the image of God. And man down here, made in the image of God, was not good for him to be alone. Therefore, obviously, it was not good for God to be alone. Because man was made in his image. And so he made him a bride. And guess what? We become the bride of Christ. Because as God said, you know what? It's not good for me to be alone. I want someone. So Adam, I'm making you to walk with me. Because I need the companionship. And then every time he found somebody to walk with, he walked with them. Because God wants to spend time with you. He wants your companionship. He made you because you have a certain personality, a certain makeup, a certain wiring that he says, I want to be with that. I want to be with you. I want you to be like this. And I want to be with you and get to know you. And you're going to fill a need I have. Hopefully, if you'll do that. Because God wants us to be with him. The Lord wants to be with you. Let me take you to Mark and Mark chapter 3. He tells us to pray. He longs for us to walk with him. Mark chapter 3. He's calling his disciples. And these are going to become apostles. And what are they going to do? They're going to do miracles. He's going to call them to do his ministry when he leaves. He's going to call them to cast out demons. He's going to call them to write scripture. Yes, all those things. That's true. But look what he says in Mark chapter 3. Verse 13, and he goeth up unto the mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power over to heal sickness, and to cast out devils. What's the first thing he called them to? To be with him. He called them to be with him. See, God wants to be with his people. He likes the companionship. He wants to be with you. Israel asked in the book of Micah, we don't even know what God wants us to do. And he says, you know what God wants you to do. Hear, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy... He has shown the old man what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God wants you to walk with him. It's God's desire to walk with man. It's God's desire to spend time with us. Of course, he tells us to pray all the time, and we should pray all the time. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. The Bible says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Luke 18:1. God wants to pray all the time, and pray when you're in school, and pray when you're driving, and pray when you're with people, and pray before you eat, and pray when you're in the cafeteria, and all the time. Do all those things. Pray. And he wants to pray together as a church. He says in Matthew 18:19, he says, you two, you agree and ask concerning anything, it'll be bound in heaven, and I want you to pray together as a church. And certainly the Bible church prayed together. And our church has our Wednesday night prayer time, and Sunday night and Thursday night we pray together. And that's important, but I want to say the walking with God in the Bible was someone walking with God alone. And there's another kind of prayer there, which is that alone time with God. It is not good for man to be alone, and God wants to be alone with you. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, he talks about, I want you to take some time and go alone with me and be totally private, and you and I spend time together. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God wants some alone time with you. Let me say this, couples, for a sec. Give your spouse alone time. It's important. Now, I have 7 kids, a big family. But you know what? We have to go and take time alone. Alone time. And alone time with people is very important. Just you and them. And And God says, I want you and I to just have some time alone. He calls it entering into your closet. He calls it walking with him. But a time where you're alone with God, why? Because the Bible says, pour out your heart before him. Pour out your heart before him. And you've got to really, sometimes, really, when you really begin to pray and you really get to know God, you understand who he is, what he can do, how he feels, the burdens he can carry, that he's the only hope, and you begin to pray a little different when you get alone with God. And after a while, you begin to really get to know God, and you get close to him, and you pray very passionately. And sometimes you weep, and sometimes you cry out, and sometimes you yell, and sometimes you can't say anything with God. You just, oh God, I need your help. And sometimes, oh God. And sometimes you confess your sin out loud. And sometimes you weep and say, where are you, God? And sometimes you say, God, I can't do it. And you cry out to God, but you don't do very good at that when you're with people. But you can pray with people. It's good. And you should pray with people. And that's important. But I don't like confessing my sins when I'm with people out loud. Anybody volunteer? Confess your sins? I don't like doing, I mean, the Bible says confess your faults one to another. Don't say confess your sins, but they'll pray for you. And there's a friend here and there, but, you know, there's things I just talk to God about that I struggle with. There's things I just talk to God about that no one else would understand anyway. Because everyone in the world's weird except for me. And they're not going to understand it. And so only God's going to, how many think everybody else is weird except for you? Oh, okay. So two of us are weird. High five. And so you learn to spend that time with God, and you really learn to be alone with God. And once you start doing it, and your soul goes from this stressed out, where's my Prozac, life, to a calm, peaceful soul who has to pray, or you know you'll go back to being loony. Because you'll just be all the time like you were. And just, sometimes I just walk at the people and I just look at them, and I'll just walk up to them. I'll start rubbing their shoulders and say, relax. I'm not tense. Leave me alone. And because people are so, why? Because you are made to spend time and pour your heart's burdens to God. And when you don't do it, you get anxiety attacks, and you may are stressed out and strung up and snapping at everything and never. People are afraid to be in the car with you because you're so angry. You have everything. And if worse than that, you lose your remote. You're so stressed out about everything, and everybody and anybody dares ask you a question, you snap at people you love because you're so. You know why you're so tense? God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart before him. Psalm 62, 6 through 8. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You've worried 6,827 times about the same thing. How about praying about it for a while and praying until you get an answer? How about saying, Lord, I have failed you in this 1,000 times, and I'm just not strong enough. That's what you should be doing instead of avoiding praying. Pour out your heart before him. It brings peace. The peace that passes understanding is a promise in Philippians 4, 8, and 9 to those who pray about everything. And the Lord wants to pray, have you pray and walk with him and spend time with him. He wants you to be alone. If you do that, if you're alone in your closet, Jesus told you to do it. He says he will reward you openly. You're going to get blessings and answers when you really do it. He will listen to you and carry your burdens, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You will find total fullness of joy in life. In his presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You're going to find fulfillment. You will not need the things you needed before. Usually a good way to start getting rid of your addiction and getting rid of whether your addiction is drugs or whether your addiction is acceptance from people or whatever it is, you can usually get rid of it if you can get to God, because all of your longings are really just a longing for God. And you're empty without him. And so you need to try something. And that's what the love of money is, and that's what things is, and you got to have this, you got to have that. You're unsatisfied from the inside. So you got to entertain yourself and numb things and do all kinds of things because you're not satisfied. When you get close to God, you can be sitting in the middle of a little room and nobody around and nothing around and just be smiling because you have God and you are fulfilled. He is the thirst of the soul. He's the longing for the hungry soul. And your time with God will fulfill you so you don't have to rush to go find something to fulfill the emptiness or the pain. What you're longing for is truly God, but it's a walk with God is what you need. He will carry your burdens. You'll find fullness there. You'll also get close to him. James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Do you know you can be as close to God as you want to be? It's up to you how close you are with God. But God is standing there waiting to walk with you. It's a matter of whether you're going to take the walk. Whether you're going to say, I'm too busy, or I'm too distracted, or I don't want to do this. I always laugh. People who don't pray tell me prayer doesn't work. Like the 400-pound person who says a diet doesn't work. They're sitting in old country of faith saying, you know what? I bet you if I didn't eat all this, I bet you I wouldn't lose weight anyway. People who pray know it works. And it doesn't just work to get things you want. It works to please the God of the universe and to have your soul satisfied and to carry your burdens and to be at peace no matter what your problems are, no matter what life throws at you. You've got the Lord and you're close to him. You've got to walk with God, though. You'll get close to God. Draw nigh unto God. How close you want to be God this week? You'll tell how close you want to be to God by how much time you take for him. By how much time you take for him. Husband can say, I want to be close to you, honey. I just don't have time for you. Well, if you want to be close to me, you take time for me. Prayer was so satisfying. In the book of Luke, chapter 11, and it was so important to walk with God, that Jesus, as he walked with God, they saw Jesus do a million things. They saw him heal people. It'd be awesome to be able to walk up to anybody and rise up. To go to a dead person, bring them back to life, spoil funerals. Put funeral homes out of business. It'd be kind of fun to do that, wouldn't it? Yeah. Going to the hospital, intensive care unit, someone died, the family's crying, just walk in there. Come back to life! Pretty fun. Be pretty great if you could go feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That'd be pretty awesome. It'd be fun to do. I could use that right now with my kids. Eat how much they eat, and that'd be great. There's all kinds of things Jesus did. I'd be able to walk on water. Boy, it could be some good fishing, and walking on water, that'd be awesome. But the disciples didn't ask Jesus to tell them how to cast out demons and how to feed 5,000 and how to. They saw Jesus do one thing and they said, "Teach us how to do that. Teach us to do that." In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. They wanted to learn that thing from him because it looks so wonderful and so sweet for him to learn to pray like that. Since the Lord wants it so much and wants us to pray so much, and it satisfies the Lord so much, and it blesses you so much, and makes you a different person, and gives you victory, and gives you power with God, and changes lives, and makes it so your family gets saved. Many, many miracles happen all around. If it's so powerful and makes God so happy, the devil, of course, fights it like crazy. I have been talking to people about their prayer lives in many countries, in many places, in many ages, for a long, long time. There are certain things you have to do if you want to make it as a Christian. You have to read your Bible regularly. You have to go to church or you won't make it. And you have to have a prayer life. Those three things are the hardest three things to do in the Christian life in most cases. You have to decide you're going to go to church no matter what. You have to decide you're going to read your Bible and find time for it. And you have to decide you're going to pray because the devil fights that one of the three the hardest. The one thing that most people fail at is a real prayer life. They believe in prayer. They want to pray. They pray sometimes. They pray here and there. But they don't really get alone and walk with God and spend a prolonged period of time with God every day. They believe in it. They want to. They long to. They wish they did. They plan to someday. But they don't. Why? Because God wants it so much, the devil knows if he can keep you from it, he's making God unsatisfied and hurting you and making it so you can't make it and you can't do the things you can do, and keeps you in defeat and ruins the very purpose you were made for. Fail at a lot of things, but don't fail to pray. Because if you fail to pray, you're going to fail at everything else. So the devil fights it that hard. He fights it with me. He fights it with everybody I've ever known. I told you before, the time I learned how few people pray is when I was in Bible college. At a Bible college, it was only a ministry Bible college. That's all you can go there for, is to go into ministry. On a dorm floor with about 90 or 100 guys who were all there to go to learn the ministry, and from very elite churches, and being on the dorm floor and realizing on that dorm floor, there's maybe 2 to 3 that really had a real prayer life. I'm sure all of them prayed sometimes. These people are preaching around the world right now. And those guys barely prayed. Because it's so, and why? We like it. When you get done praying, the first time you get alone with God, you just, tonight, schedule 20 minutes. You say, I'm going to go alone, I'm going to pray. Praise God, worship Him, ask Him for some things, tell Him your burdens, confess your sins, give yourself 20 minutes. You will float when you get off the ground. You feel so good. We love it, and yet to do it, it's a war. It's like saying, I love ice cream, I just can't seem to go eat ice cream. It doesn't make any sense, because when I love ice cream, I eat ice cream. When I love lots of things, I do them. When I love praying, it's like a war. And everything comes in the way. Everything comes in the way. And you've got to make that time. And God's standing saying, I want to take a walk with you. I'm waiting. I'm right here. I'm waiting to walk with you. Come walk with me. But you got to find the time to walk with God. It transforms you. And it's going to be a war. It's hard, hard to do. How do you pray? How do you get a prayer life? How do you really walk with God? You must decide to do it, even when opposition comes. A good illustration of this is Daniel. Daniel every day walked with God at a certain spot in his house. He prayed towards Jerusalem, and right by that window praying towards Jerusalem. He was captive in Babylon, and he prayed every time there at that window in Persia. Every time he prayed there, he would pray to God, and they wanted to get him. And so they said, you know what, we're going to get him for his prayer life. And if he prayed, the law was, if you prayed, you would be thrown into a den of lions and eaten alive. That's worse than my opposition to praying. That's some pretty bad opposition. It's interesting. Not only did Daniel go pray the next day, he prayed in front of the same window. I want to tell you why, because it's significant there. He could have prayed around the corner and not been fed to the lions. But because he prayed, by the way, he was delivered from the lions. You know why he did? Because one of the most important things in prayer is a place. It's an appointment time. You're meeting him somewhere. If I was going to spend time with you and I said, hey, let's go to Starbucks, I would say, let's go to Starbucks over there, right over there by the Goodwill. Let's meet there at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. I'd set an appointment. I'd meet you there. Sound good? Who's going to meet me? All right. Who's buying? And so I'd say that, and we set up an appointment. Notice it says, enter into thy closet. Kind of a personal place there. Jesus always prayed in the mountain. You will find biblically the good prayers, and in life, you will find good prayers have a special place to pray. It's their appointment with God. And Daniel prayed in front of that window, and he's going to meet God there, and God is waiting for him there. And he said, God, I'm coming. This is going to be an interesting day of prayer. And he met God there and walked with God. He didn't physically walk. He knelt right there by that window there with God, and him and God spent some time together in front of that window, because that was his place to pray. And he had an appointment as, it said about Daniel, it said he prayed as he did aforetime. He met God same place, same time. And so you have to, first of all, decide you are going to pray no matter what the opposition. Now, you say, I'm going to pray 20 minutes tonight, Pastor. Okay, watch. Your cell phone's going to ring with somebody who has to talk to you right before you go to pray. So you're going to have some emergency at work, then call you in. I'm just telling you, you better decide you're going to do it. You know what you have to do? What I've had to do when I prayed. I had to say, okay, I'm physically impossible for me to pray at my normal time right now when I get done. And sometimes I get called into work right before my prayer time and I had to go work all night long and I had to go pray in the morning. But pray I did. because you have to. You have to make a decision you're going to. Come thick or thin, because thicker or thinner is coming. The devil's going to fight you in every way. You're going to all of a sudden find yourself unbelievably tired when you shouldn't be. When you're going to go to pray. Your favorite show is going to come on. Your cell phone's going to with phone calls. You're going to forget if you don't schedule it. You're going to have everything in the world fighting against you to pray. Somebody's going to need you right then. You're going to find 1,000 things. And when the devil finds out, he's going to pray anyway, so I might as well not interrupt it. It gets a lot easier. So it gets a lot easier. You find a place, you find a time, and you stick with it. And you walk with God. When I was in Bible college, when I was back home, I could always drive somewhere and go pray, and I usually did. I'd drive somewhere, go to some field somewhere, go pray in my car, or go somewhere. There's always spots. I was living on the edge of town. I could drive, 5 minutes to be outside of town, so it wasn't hard. Then I got to Bible college, and I was surrounded by 2,000 people. And they were good people and everything, but I was surrounded. That was a problem. And the Bible college I was in was extremely strict. They were strict about everything in your life, and that's what it was. And you had to be on your dorm floor by 10 o'clock every night. Well, I'm a night prayer. I'm slowly switching that over to the morning, but I like to pray at night. And I'm a night owl. 10 o'clock at night, I'm ready to tackle the world. 9 o'clock at night, I mean, give me the world, I'm ready to go. 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm ready to die. I tried praying in the morning before, and when I prayed in the morning, I fell asleep. And my mind is not clear and focused. My mind's groggy. And I've switched this over, and now my mind's better in the morning than at night. But back then, my mind was groggy in the morning. I couldn't think clearly. I didn't pray good in the morning. I prayed terrible. So I prayed at night. Well, I used to pray late at night. Well, I got done my homework, and I'm in a dorm room with 3 other guys. I can't pray like I want to pray that way. So I try to find some spot on the dorm floor. There's nothing but rooms. Tried for a minute underneath a stairway. But everybody walked by and say, "Hey, man, are you okay? What are you doing under there?" That didn't work either. So I'd go out at night, but my schedule, with my work schedule, when I get back, and then it had just a too small window. I could go outside, and there's a lake, and walk around the lake and pray. Problem was, there was too small of a window there where I didn't get to pray as long as I wanted to, and then I had to go back in the dorms, and I couldn't really pray. I tried praying in the shower. I tried all kinds of things. And, "What are you doing, man? Get out of there." But I was going to pray. Not, "Oh, well, I guess I can't." That's not an option. When we get some spirit back and some spine back, we instead of saying, "Oh, that's tough, I guess I can't," say, "I'm going to do it anyway. I'll figure it out." You know, it's a spineless people who get stopped at everything now. I was going to pray, just no matter how. Got a job on maintenance. with college there, God ordained that job. I got a job in maintenance. I got the master keys to the entire college. And one night I was going out to go pray, and it dawned on me at the end of my dorm floor was the wood shop. I had a key to the wood shop. I walked in there, pitch black. Nobody ever goes in there. I got the key to it. Nobody in the dorm floor has a key to it. And I said, "I'm on my dorm floor. This is legal." Now, I was in the very end of my dorm floor, but I was on my dorm floor. By the way, only dorm floor in the entire college that had that room at the end of it was mine. God put me on that dorm floor, gave me that job, and guess what? I got to pray as long as I wanted to, and some of my sweetest times in my entire life of prayer were in that little wood shop, where I could, and there was no rooms by it, nobody anywhere around. I could call out to God and pray. It was a custom-designed room. Why? Because I decided to pray. Because I wanted to walk with God. The peace and the joy and the strength and the growth I had was phenomenal during that year when I had that. So my best growth time and prayer time and influence time I ever had were during that year, because I had such an opportunity to walk with God. And it's changed many times in many places, and I've been all over the place, and it's hard sometimes. It's hard for me to pray in the mission field. There's always somebody around, and I can't wander around the streets, and it's tough. But I've got to pray. Sometimes people talk to me. I said, "Go in your bathroom. Lock the doors. They won't interrupt you there. And pray. Go into a closet, literally. And pray." But you got to find a place to walk with God. I think you'll find your best success, if you're able, is in nature. Walking around and seeing God's creation. Seeing the stars. You'll know God better, because God, the creation speaks of God. I think it's great to be in nature. I try once a month to go up the mountains and spend a day with God up in the mountains. But I can get up there, don't always make it, just to be see God's creation. I just think you just got to make the time for God. It's going to be hard. You're going to have lots of reasons. If you want an excuse and you'll accept an excuse, you'll have it. But God wants to walk with you, and he's waiting. And he's sitting there going, I'd like to walk with you. I'm missing something because you're not walking with me. And you go and you find a way to walk with God. You just got to choose to do it. You've got to do it. Find a time, find a place, and walk with God. And you'll find it'll become a necessary thing. You'll say, how did I make it before without it? I didn't. I was a mess. No wonder I didn't get blessed in any way. I didn't take the time to pray. And you know what? It's just good for some people to get alone sometimes and away from people. You don't have to be around the crowd all the time. Get away from people and pray and spend time with God. He's a person who wants to be with you. He died so you can be reconciled to him, so you and him can be together. And you're going to be with him forever, so you might as well get used to him a little bit now. Spend time with God. Walk with God. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. And do not let that sin, like Adam did, end your walk with God. Run to God and say, God, I sinned. I still want to walk with you. Instead of hiding. But you got to find the time. You got to take the time. Remember what today's about? For God. But I'm really busy. I want to tell you, you're not as busy as you think you are. If I said, everybody who this week, I had a billionaire give me $1 billion. Everybody this week who spends 1 hour with God per day, you come back next Sunday, we give each you a cool $1 million. You would find out you weren't all that busy. Right? You'd find an hour. You carve an hour out somewhere. Do it anyway. And by the way, when I was in Bible college, I had a three-year period. I was working 40 hours a week, going 18 hours of college, doing 30 hours of ministry, sleeping 3.5 hours a night. I was on schedule 115 hours per week. And I still prayed. Because I had to. Whatever's most important to you, you find time for. I prayed walking. I couldn't have knelt down. I'd fall asleep. But I had to pray. We need to slow our culture down so we can stop and do things that are important. Like praying. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Lord, the devil's lied to us and gives a million excuses. Lord, we know it's right. We know we need to walk with you. I pray every one of us would walk with you today. If someone doesn't know you as Savior, may they be saved today so they can know the joy of walking with you in a real way. I pray all of us who are saved would take time to pray and walk with you. Lord, this time thing is so important. And Lord, I find that if we would just give you some time every day, the rest of our day would go a lot smoother. And we'd have more time. But our days are not blessed because we're not walking with you. We're not giving you the time that's first. And so the rest of our days don't go well and things are we spin our wheels all day, Father. Help us to pray. Help us to walk with you. You're waiting. Help us to do so. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to just a couple things.